Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph Kuf Yud Aleph, and we will begin by the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Choshish Bishinov, somebody who has a toothache, Lo Yigamei Ben Esachoymitz, he should not sip vinegar for refuah, as we've been learning for the last few blot. Refuah on Shabbos, taking your medicine on Shabbos, is Osir. Amatavul Kedarkoi, he could dip his food into vinegar in a normal manner, the Nisrapa, and if he's cured, Nisrapa, he's cured. Continues the Mishnah. Hachoshish b'mosnov, somebody who feels pain in his hips, lo yosuch yayin v'chaymetz, he should not smear them with wine or vinegar. Avosachu shemen, he could smear them with oil, since normal people, healthy people, also smeared with oil. And like the Chronim explain, if this is not the normal thing that a healthy person does, it's only done by ill people, why does our Mishnah have to teach us this then? So the Farshim explain that we might have thought that the Isser of Refuah is limited to eating, but not to smearing, not to putting on oil. That's why Mishnah teaches us that the halachas of refuah are not limited to eating. Continues the Mishnah, the Tanakhama holds, v'lo shemen vered, he's not allowed to anoint himself with rose oil. And like the Rishonim explained, that was oil in which roses were cooked, and the oil obtains the fragrance of the rose. Says the Tanakhama, however, b'nei melachim sochem shevem vered al makaseim, princes may smear rose oil on the wounds. Shekein da'akon losa b'chol, it's something that they do during the week. And as we've been learning, the heter machal b'riim, something which is done normally, may be done on Shabbos also. Shimon Aymer, kol b'nei yisrael melachim heim, all of Klal Yisrael have the status of princes, and therefore any Jew could apply rose oil to his wound on Shabbos. The Arizal says, it says in the Pasuk, in Tehillim, Perek Memches, Kehinei hamalachim na'adu ovru yachtav. So he says, pshats like this, Kehinei hamalachim, when Klal Yisrael, who are considered b'nei malachim, as Rabbi Shimon just said, na'adu, they get together, when there is achdus, when there's unity amongst Klal Yisrael, avru yachdav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives them on all of the averus, mavir al kol avonoseihem, hema ro kein tamo, and all of us will sit the tamo and wonder how this wonderful opportunity happened to us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us on our sins, and it comes because the Malachim, Klal Yisrael, are ba'achdus. The Chacham Tzvi says that from our Mishnah, there's a raya that a person can use perfume on Shabbos, even though it's moilad recha, it causes his body to have a fragrance, that there is no iser of moilad reyach on a human being. So says the Chacham Tzvi. Other Paiskim, the Taz, say that it's only permitted if he doesn't intend to make himself have a reyach, have a pleasant fragrance, as in our Mishnah. Says, begins the Gemara, Ramalei Rav Aricha, Duhu Rav Achba, Papala Rav Avua. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Choshi B'shinav, somebody who has a toothache, Le'igam Ben Ezechaymetz, he's not allowed to sip vinegar, Lememra, the chaimetz ma'al lishnayim. That seems to indicate that vinegar is beneficial for the teeth. V'ksiv, asked the Gemara, it says, a pasuk in Mishlei, ki chaimetz lishnayim, ke'eshen leinayim, like vinegar to the teeth, and like smoke to the eyes. Continued the pasuk, so is a lazy person to those who send him. So we see that vinegar is not good for the teeth. And it says, the Gemara, lo kasha, there are two types of vinegar. The juice of unripe fruit is harmful to the teeth. Habachala, regular vinegar, is good for the teeth. Vibais Ema, another answer, Hava Habachala. Both could be referring to regular vinegar. Hadakamaka, our Mishnah speaking when there is a wound. Hadalagmaka, the pasuk is referring when there is no wound. Ikamaka, when there is a wound, Masi, the vinegar, heals the teeth. Lekamaka, if there is no wound, Mapi, it just loosens the teeth and doesn't do any good. Continues the Gemara, it said in the Mishnah, Yigavi ben Esachimitz. You're not allowed to sip vinegar when you have a toothache. Vatanya, Ligameya Pilot. You're not allowed to sip vinegar and spit it out, because there it's obvious that you're doing it for refuah. Avamagameya Balea. You're allowed to sip it and swallow it, because that sometimes people do, even for not medical purposes. But our Mishnah seems to say that you're not allowed to sip vinegar under any circumstances. Amrabaya kitna namas nisan. What was our Mishnah speaking about? Megamea pilotanam. We're talking about somebody sips and spits it out. But if he were going to swallow it, our Mishnah would say it's mutter. Ask Tosfos, if that's the case, so why, when our Mishnah wanted to give us advice how you could use vinegar, did it say use it while you're eating it with your food? The Mishnah said use it when you swallow it. So Taisha says the Mishnah could have said that Eitzah, but people would prefer and were more likely to use the advice of sipping and of using it with the food than swallowing it. People don't normally swallow vinegar. Rav Amma, Rav says, "Afilo tam megameo belea." We could say that our Mishnah talks about sipping and swallowing. However, kalif neitibul, our Mishnah is referring to somebody who sip and swallows vinegar before the meal, since it was very normal for them to have vinegar as part of the meal. So, somebody sees you using vinegar before the meal, he just thinks and that's part of the meal. Kalachatibul, the Mishnah is referring to after the meal. Nobody uses vinegar after the meal. There it's obvious the person is doing it for a fool. Ask the Gemara and Rava, the name of, why don't we say, Midlif Neitibul Shari, since we're saying that you're allowed to use vinegar before the meal, Lachatibul Nami Shari, it should be mutter even after the meal. The Shemina Leila Rava, we know that Rava accepts the concept of Islay Hoyle. Hoyle means since. Dama Rava, Rava says, Lekam Midi the Bishabi Shari, there's nothing that is permitted on Shabbos, over Yom Kippurim also, and should be also on Yom Kippur. Why? Because we say a concept, Hoyel the B'Shabbos Shari, since it's Mutter on Shabbos, but Yom Kippurim, Nami Shari, it's Mutter on Yom Kippur also. So let's explain. The halacha is that a person should really not be allowed to go to the mikveh on Shabbos. Why? Because it's nearer Kemisakin. It looks like he's fixing himself. He's making himself tahor. However, the halacha is he may go, because nira kameka, somebody who sees him going to the mikveh will think he's just going to cool himself off. Now, that heter applies to Shabbos. However, somebody who has to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur, we don't have the concept of nira kameka, that it looks like he's just going to cool himself off, because on Yom Kippur, that would be prohibited. You're not allowed to just go into water for enjoyment on Yom Kippur. So why does Rava say that somebody may go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur? Because since he's allowed to go to the mikveh on Shabbos, we apply the concept of Hoyel that he's allowed to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. Before we explain this concept further, I want to stress that this is not the halacha, and a person is not allowed to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur under any circumstances. And Tosfos points out that even if we hold that tefillah bezmana lav mitzvah, that there is no chiyuv to specifically go to the mikveh when you have to go to the mikveh, you can push it off, still the halacha is that on Shabbos and Yom Kippur a person could go to the mikveh. So now let's take this step, take this concept a step further. If we're saying that since a person, Rav is saying that since a person can go to the mikvah on Shabbos, he may go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur with the concept of Hoyle. So ask the Gemara, why doesn't Rav apply the same concept and say, if a person is allowed to use vinegar before the meal, because it looks like he's using it for the meal, he should be allowed to use it even for after the meal. Yet we're saying that our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to use vinegar after the meal. Says the Gemara, Hadabei Rava Mahach. Once Rava accepted the concept of Hoyle, of sins, he retracted from the Teretz that he said in our Mishnah. It's very interesting. The halacha is that in Rosh Hashanah, a person is allowed to blow the shofar. The halacha is you're allowed to blow the shofar even when you have the mitzvah. But if somebody just wants to blow the shofar in the afternoon, when there is no mitzvah to blow the shofar, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to. Ask the Mefarshim, if we have the concept of Hoyel, of sin, so why don't we say, since you're allowed to blow the shofar when you're allowed for the mitzvah, you should be allowed to blow the shofar even when it's not the mitzvah. So Mefarshim say a very nice teretz. Truthfully, we should not be allowed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because blowing a shofar is also on Shabbos for Yontif. Why are we allowed to blow it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, blow it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu only told us to blow it when there's a mitzvah. When there is no mitzvah, the isser of blowing shofar remains. Hoyle cannot tell us that you're allowed to do something which is explicitly usher. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that Rava retracted from the teretz that he gave regarding our Mishnah? Perhaps he retracted from the concept of Hoyle. It doesn't really make sense to say that Rava retracted for the concept of Hoyel, because there's a brice, the Tanya, Kol Chai V'Tfilas Toivon Kedarkin, whoever has to go to the mikveh may go to the mikveh Bein B'Tisha B'Av Bein B'Yom Kippur, both on Tisha B'Av and both on Yom Kippur. Why? The answer is because of the concept of Hoyel. So we have a brice that subscribes to Hoyel. So it must be that Hoyel is a concept that's intact, and Rava must have had to give a different answer to our Mishnah. But I repeat, we don't go to the mikveh, not on Yom Kippur, not on Tisha B'Av, and like Tosfos says, even on Tisha B'Av, Kedaihu Beis Elokeinu, our Beis HaMikdash, which unfortunately was destroyed, Lavrov Tfila Achas B'Shana, to miss one day of going to the mikveh during the year. So the Gemara's teretz is that to sip vinegar and spit it out is, and swallow it is mutter, to spit it, to sip it and spit it out is awesome. However, interestingly enough, the Rashba says that if somebody is using vinegar because he has a problem with his breath, so he's using it as some sort of a mouthwash, then he's allowed to use it and spit it out, and that's why the halacha is you're allowed to use mouthwash on Shabbos and Yontif. It's not considered a refuah. Another interesting shaila I saw is what will be the halacha regarding taking a sleep pill on Shabbos. Will that be considered a refuah or not? So the Ktzais HaShulchan says that it's not that it's permitted, and he says the reason we're not allowed to take medicine is only a medicine that's for a disease and as a cure. But sleep pill, he claims, is not a medicine and not a cure, and therefore may be taken in Shabbos. And he explains further, especially nowadays where we don't make our own medicine, so the entire gzeira of shchikas ha'mamonim, the gzeira of not taking medicine, is not as strong as it used to be, and therefore, under such circumstances, he says somebody would be allowed to take a sleeping pill. Also, other mepaskim say that the reason a person is not allowed to take medicine is because we're afraid that if he can't find the medicine, he'll make the medicine. But in the case of a sleeping pill, which is not, again, in a situation where a person has a disease, that concern isn't necessarily there, and a person may be allowed to take a sleeping pill. Continues the Mishnah. Gemara. It said in the Mishnah, Choshish b'masnav, if somebody has pain in the hip, so we had a machlokes tanakamer of Shimon, if a person who's not a prince can use rose oil to smear on his wound. The Tanakhama said he may not. Rav Shimon said he may. Amle Rav Ava Bazavda Amarav. So Rav Ava Bazavda said the name of Rav. Halach Krib Shimon. The Halach is Krib Shimon. Ask the Gemara. Remember the Rav Krib Shimon Sfirle. Does that mean the Rav holds like Rav Shimon? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question is that, and this is the way the Rajba explains Rashi, that they had a Kabbalah that the Rav did not hold like Rav Shimon, which is a difficult thing to say, because just because we're going to prove that Rav doesn't hold like Rav Shimon in one machlokes, which the Gemara is going to quote now, does that mean that Rav never agrees with Rav Shimon? We have many times in Shas where a Moira agrees with a Tanakama, passing like one Tana in one situation, and doesn't agree with that same Tana in different Shitta, in a different situation. So there are other Rishayim that say that they had a Kabbalah that in all of Hilchos Shabbos, either you held like Rav Shimon and all of his Piskei Halacha, or you didn't hold like Rav Shimon and all the Piskei Halacha, which again, difficult to understand. Another pshat is that they had a Kabbalah that Rav did not hold like Rav Shimon. We know Rav doesn't hold like Rav Shimon. A third pshat is Tosfos' pshat. Tosfos says that the reason why the machlokes of the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon in our Mishnah is an old machlokes. Machlokes we've discussed many times. The machlokes of Davish Einam Skavin. That the reason Rav Shimon in our Mishnah holds that anybody can use rose oil is because his kavana is not dafka to make himself a refuah, which would be usur. His kavana is just to smear himself, and therefore it's mutter. And the Tanakhama holds that even if it's a Davish Einam Skavin, it's usur. So the machloikus of the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon in our Mishnah is the machloikus of Dovish Einam Skavin. And now the Gemara is going to ask, says Tosfos, that we know the Rav doesn't agree with Reb Shimon regarding Dovish Einam Skavin, and therefore we have a question: How could we say that Rav paskin like Reb Shimon? Because the Amar of Sim Vachir Ben Shmei the Rav, Hai Musgras Nazaisa, the stop of a barrel, Osala Duke B'Yontif. One can't put it into its place in Yontif, even though it's a Dovish and a Miskavin. He's not Mechamin to do the Malacha, and we'll talk in a moment what Malacha is in question. Rav says it's Osir, and Rav Shimon would hold its Mutter. And here we see that Rav doesn't agree with Rav Shimon. What is the Malacha? The Malacha is that when you stick in this rag into the hole, into the barrel, you're going to squeeze out the wine. And that would be the melacha of schita. Rav Shimon will hold its mutter, the Gemara says now, because it's Davish Einam Skavin. He's not mechavin, he doesn't intend to do schita. Yet, Rav Yehuda will hold its still asr, because Davish Einam Skavin is asr. And here we see the Rav holds its asr, and must be because Rav doesn't agree with Rav Shimon. So here we're identifying the melacha as the melacha of schita, squeezing a wet rag. Now, in the melacha of schita, when somebody does schita, he could be doing one of two melachas. He could be doing either melabin, whitening. When you squeeze something out, that's part of the cleaning process. Or he could be doing dosh. He's separating the liquid out of the rag. So let's talk about these two melachas for a moment. The melacha of schita, of melabin, is only applicable by water. Because when you squeeze out a rag from its water, that's the way you clean a rag. But if there's any other type of liquid in the rag, wine or anything else, that would not be melabim. So certainly, the Mefarshim point out, here we're dealing with a barrel of wine, so the rag that's going to be in the barrel of wine is not going to be melabim. Now the question is, will there be dosh here? So, to have the melacha of dosh, you have to have a number of conditions. Not all, according to different paiskim, not all are met here. Some say dosh is only, everybody agrees to this actually, that dosh is only applicable that when the liquid you're squeezing out, you want that liquid. Here, the question is, do you want the liquid that's being squeezed out of the rag? So Rishonim say that the liquid that's squeezed out of the rag goes back into the barrel, so that's liquid that you want. But if it's going to be liquid that's going to be squeezed out and go to the waste, that wouldn't be dosh. Another concept of dosh is Ein Disha El Begdule Karka. And this is wine. Wine itself is not Gedule Karka, although it comes from grapes, which are Gedule Karka. So there's a question if there's dosh by Gedule Karka. A third concept is that many Paiskim hold that dosh is only applicable when something was together from inception and then you separate it. The classical case would be the milk that an animal or human expresses, that was there from the beginning, and when it's separated, mefarik dosh. But the wine that comes into a rag wasn't there from the beginning, so that would not be dosh. So therefore many Paiskim want to say that this malocha of schita that's being referred to in our Gemara would only be schita midrabonim. Although there is one other sheet in the Rishonim that says that the malocha here is not schita because of all the issues we've raised if schita is applicable here, and they say that the malocha here is that mesakin mana, by putting the rag into the hole in the barrel, you're making the barrel into a barrel, which would be the melacha of mesakin mana. But no matter what we learned, it's a davar shein miskaven. According to Rav Shimon, it should be mutter. The Rav is paskening, it's asur. So we see the Rav does not agree with Rav Shimon. Answers the Gemara, Rav can agree with Rav Shimon, because by he, in that case, are the Mishrach, the Nezaisa, I feel Rav Shimon. Even Rav Shimon would agree that it's Osir. Because as we've learned many times, the Bai Rav the Amri Tavaya, Maidur Rav Shimon, Psikresh Velo Yomis. Rav Shimon agrees with something is inevitable, even if that wasn't my intention, that it's Osir. So here, it was inevitable. And that's why it's Osir. So we don't have a proof the Rav does not agree with Rav Shimon. So now the Gemara brings proof that Rav does not agree with Rav Shimon. Because the Amar Rav Chibar Ashi Amar Rav, Halach Rav Yehuda. The Halach is like Rav Yehuda regarding Davar Shein Miskaven. Rav Chanan Bar Ami Amar Shmuel Halach Rav Shimon. Rav Chibar Ma'avi Masne B'loi Gav. He said it not in the name of specific people. Rather, Rav Amar Halach Rav Yehuda, V'Shmuel Amar Halach Rav Shimon. But no matter how it's repeated, we see the Rav does not agree with Rav Shimon. So we're back to where we started. How could you say Rav Paskin like Rav Shimon in our Mishnah? Elamar Rava, Ani Varisha B'chabur Targumina, I and the lion, the most choshva person in the group, explained Rav's statement regarding rose oil, or manu, who was that? Rav Chibar Avin. Halach Rav Shimon, Rav Taka Paskin that the Halach is like Rav Shimon, however, Vlad Metamei, not for his reason. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Maya Halach Rav Shimon v'la metamei. Ilay mechalach Rav Shimon d'shari. If you mean to say that Rav Shimon, that the Halach is like Rav Shimon that says you're allowed to use rose oil, v'la metamei, but not for his reasoning. Dila Rav Shimon sovim masi. Rav Shimon holds it heals, and therefore it's a refuah of Rav Shavu loy masi. It doesn't heal, so it's not a refuah. Ask the Gemara, v'savu Rav loy masi. Could Rav say it doesn't heal? V'amidik tani b'nei melachim sochen agam seim shem vered. Since we learned that princes do smear rose oil on the wounds, mechlal the masi, so obviously it does heal. Al alach Rav Shimon d'shari, pshat is Rav Shimon holds its mutter, v'lam etamei. Dil Rav Shimon sova afagav d'loy shkir shari. Rav Shimon is going to hold that everybody may use rose oil. whether because we say that everybody's considered bnei melachim, or we'll say it's a davar shei meskaven. Rav sava inch ishchiyachin, if you live in a place where there's a lot of rose oil, so it's very common, so everybody uses rose oil, and that's why he'll say in such a place you're allowed to use rose oil. But if you live in a place where it's not common, loy, you would not be allowed to use it, because there it's obvious that you're using it for a fool. And says the Gemara, or Ba'asa the Rav, Shchiach Shmishcha Devarda. And where Rav lived, rose oil was common, and since rose oil was common in such a place, it was not considered a refuah. There's a very interesting point made by the Rishash on the last Rashi of the Perek. Rashi identifies that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. The words of Rashi is Rav Namik Rabbi Yehuda Svirilei. Ask the Rishash, how do we know that the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanakhama is anonymous in our Mishnah. So says the Rishash, according to Tosfos' Pshat, that the machloikis of our Mishnah is the machloikis of Dovah Shei Miskaven or not Miskaven. Rav Shimon in our Mishnah, who's holding a lot of use rose oil, is consistent with his Shita that a Dovah Shei Miskaven is Mutter. And the Tanakhama who disagrees with Rav Shimon is because he holds a Dovah Shei Miskaven is Aser. Who is the Tanakhama, who is the Tana that always holds that a Dovah Shei Miskaven is also Rabbi Yehuda? So that's how Rashi was able to identify that the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda. The only problem, points out Rishash, is that was Tosfos' Pshat. Rashi didn't agree with that Pshat. Rashi just said, well, we know the Rav doesn't agree with Rav Shimon, but he didn't say because it's connected to the Machlokes Dovah Shei Miskaven. So either we must say the Rashi really did agree with Tosfos, or Rashi will have to learn that generally we find that the two Bali Plukta, the two disputants, are Rav Shimon versus Rabbi Yehuda. So we know that Rabbi Shimon is one man da'amah in the Mishnah, by deduction we'll say that the other man da'amah is Rabbi Yehuda. Harun lachshman ishratzim, harun lachshman ishratzim, harun lachshman ishratzim. Now the Mishnah begins discussing another malacha that we mentioned in Paraklal Gadol, the malacha of kshira, of making a knot on Shabbos, which the malacha of matir, of untying that knot, obviously travels very closely together. For the following knot, somebody is chayiv on Shabbos. Keshar gemolim v'keshar safonim. Camel drivers' knots and sailors' knots. Gemara will explain that in a moment. Kshem shuchayiv akshuram. And just like somebody is chayiv to tying these types of knots, kachoyav chayiv alaterim, so too are you liable for untying such knots. Rameya says, "Kol kasha shiyochel atir b'achz miyadov, any knot that can be untied with one of his hands, ein chayov alav, he cannot be chayiv for making such a knot." Ask the Gemara, "My kasha gemolim v'kasha sufonim." The Mishnah gave as an example knots that are also made on Shabbos, the knots of the camel people and the ship. So let's just explain how it looked. They used to use camels. If they had to park the camel, so to speak, they would tie it to a pole. But how would they do that? So the way they did it was like this. They took a piece of material, they made a hole in the nose of the camel, and they took a piece of material and they inserted it into the hole and tied it. That remained there permanently. And then when they wanted to tie the camel to a place, they used to bring another rope, put it through that loop that is there permanently, and tie it to the pole for as long as they wanted the camel to remain there. Similarly by a boat. If they wanted to anchor a boat, so the way it was, they made a hole in the front of the boat, and they inserted into it a piece of material or a piece of reed, which they tied permanently. And then when they wanted to park the boat, they would take another rope and pull it through that loop and tie it to a pole by the port. Ask the Gemara. When the Mishnah speaks about Kesher HaGemolim, the Kesher HaSafonim, my Kesher HaGemolim, the Kesher HaSafonim, what exactly does that mean? Ilam Kitri, the Kotribazam, doesn't mean those rope that's put through the nose ring on the camel, the kitri, the kotri, the and the knot that's put through the ship's ring. Ask the Gemara, hi kashashana kayamahu. This is not something permanent. The camel won't remain tied to the pole forever. The boat won't remain anchored at that port forever. Says the Gemara, el kitri de zumama gufe. That loop that's actually put into the nose of the camel, the destri de gufa, and the knot that's made on into the front of the boat, that remains forever. That is what the Mishnah refers to. Ramei Oimer, kol kesher, any knot that can be not untied with one hand, somebody is not you're not chayiv for making that knot. Ask the Gemara, boy revachtuve achidemar acha, a nivel Ramei Mahu. Why were Ramei paskin regarding a bow? Do we say do we explain that the reason Rameya says that as he did is because he could untie it with one hand? A bow can also be untied with one hand. Or perhaps the reason Rameya said that a knot that can be untied with one hand is not tight for hermetic, but a bow is tight. And therefore, it would be Asr. Teku, the question remains unresolved. And the Mefarshim explain, what is the explanation of this Gemara's question, Rameya? When Rameya said in the Mishnah, one hand, is that a symptom or is that a reason? Is the untying with one hand just a symptom that shows that it's not a strong knot? But if it is a strong knot, then that's... Or is it the reason? And if the reason is that anything can be untied with one hand is not considered a kesher as far as Shabbos is concerned, so then it makes no difference how permanent it is and how great it is, it would be mutter. So we explained Pshat and Rameya is that if it could be untied with one hand, or you need two hands to untie it. The Panim Yofos explains Pshat and Rameya like this. Sometimes you have a knot that if you pull one side of it, it'll only get tighter. And sometimes you have a knot that if you pull one string, it'll untie. Pshat Rameya is if it's a knot that when you pull the one string, it'll come apart, then you mutter. If it's a knot that when you pull one string, it won't come apart, that is awesome. Continues the Mishnah. Yesh l'chok sharmsh en chayav maleim ki kesha gemalim kesha sfanim. However, there are knots which you're not chayiv for, like you are chayiv in the kesha gemalim kesha sfanim. Says the Mishnah, kesheres isha mefteh chaluka, a woman could tie her garment. This garment was open in the front and had two straps extending, and the right from the two sides, the right strap was tied over the left shoulder, and the left strap was tied over the right shoulder. That's how they closed the garment. So since this is not a permanent knot, it will be mutter. Similar, v'chuti sifcha, she could tie the strings of a hat, v'shapaskia, or of the girdle. V'tzuas minul v'sandal, the straps of a shoe or a sandal, v'noidus yayin v'shemen, leather canteens of wine or oil, ukedei shabasser, or pot of meat. They used to tie the lid on the pot of the meat. Begins the Gemara. No, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aimer, kaishon fnei behem v'fishol teitzei. Somebody could tie rope in front of an animal stall so the animal should not go out. Now we begin the Gemara. Haguf akasha. Amrit, we say, yesh ksharim she'en chayovim like a kesher gemal and kesher sfanim. The Mishnah began identifying that there are certain knots that don't have the same status of kesher gemalim and kesher sfanim, which indicates chayuvu deleka, there is no issa deraisa in tying these knots, hasur ikka, but there is a issa derabanan. V'hadatani, and in the same Mishnah, we learned that kasheris isha maftei chaluka, she could tie her garment and all the other thing, afi lechatchila. So, is a mutter, or lechatchila, are you allowed to do it, or is it also medrabonim? Answers the Gemara, hachkama. Yesh ksharim, shein chayavim lem kekesh egmal, kesh esfanim. There are certain knots for which you're not chayiv, Kasha Gamonka Shosfanim Humaininu, Kitri the Kotri Bazaman, the knot which we put through the nose ring, like we explained earlier, when they put the rope through the nose ring to park the animal, that will be Osim Drabonim. Or similarly, Kotri the Kotri Bistrata, the rope that they put through the boat when they want to tie to the anchor it to the port. In those situations, chiyuva hu deleka, there is no issa deraisa hasur ika, but it is osim drabanan. V'yesh mitarim lechatchila, and there are certain cases which are mutar lechatchila or mayniu kasheres maftei chaluka, when somebody puts on utai's garment. That is even mutar lechatchila. So we have three statuses, and we're going to review what those statuses are according to Rashi. According to Rashi, it's like this. There are knots for which there's a chiv deraisa. Those are which are permanent knots. Then there are knots which are asum drabonim, which our Mishnah just referred to. And there's a machloikis, what does not permanent mean, that it should be, but permanent somewhat, that it should be asum drabonim. Drama quotes the Rabbeinu Yoel that says the amount is 24 hours. A knot that's going to be there for 24 hours is considered osim drabonim. Others say it has to be a week. That's what the Beis Yosef says. The Beis Yosef says it has to be at least 7 days. And the Taz says it could be up to 2 weeks. I saw other shitas that say up to half a year or a year. But again, we try to be makbid for the Rabbeinu Yoel, which says 24 hours is already osim drabonim. And then a knot, which is going to be very temporary, is mutal chatchila. This the way Rashi learns the Gemara, the Rosh learns the Gemara that way too. However, the Rif and the Rambam have a different shot in the entire Gemara. They say that for something to be osim deraisa, it has to be both a permanent and a professional type of knot. It has to be something that's done professionally, which we'll explain in Mitzvah as we go through the parak what a professional knot would be. A knot that is either permanent or professional is asur midrabonim, and a knot that's neither permanent nor professional, like the knot that the woman makes on her garment, that is muta midrabonim. So they add the concept of professional. There's a very interesting shaila which Rav Zilberstein speaks about. We explained when we began the perek that the malacha of kesher and the malacha of matir, of tying and untying, travel together. So if somebody leaned, somebody read in the Sefer Torah on Thursday morning, and when they did Galila, they tied the gartel around the Sefer Torah with a knot. Now the question is, that Sefer Torah is removed from the Aron Kodesh Shabbos morning, and we have a knot. And opening that knot, since, as we just explained, if a knot is made for more than 24 hours, it's considered a permanent knot, at least midrabonah, and you're now allowed to tie it, and you're now allowed to untie it. So now what do I do with the Sefer Torah that we opened up Shabbos that had a knot from Thursday? So Rav Zilberstein says, the first thing you should try to do is to try to somehow remove the gartel without untying it, like wiggling it off the Sefer Torah. But if that won't work, what do you do? So he says that even though normally there's a concept of Pagam Sefer Torah, that once the Sefer Torah is taken out to be read from, it's a bazillion, it's an embarrassment to the Sefer Torah to not use it. Here, because of the shaila of opening up a knot on Shabbos, you're allowed to put back that Sefer Torah into the Oren and take out another Sefer Torah that may not have this problem. But let's say you don't have another Sefer Torah, or all the Sefer Torah have the same issue. So he says the first thing you should try to do is try to find a child or perhaps a goy to open up that knot. But if that is not applicable, he says a few reasons why it would be mutter to open up that knot. One reason he says is that since we're dealing only with a knot that is osmed rabbonon, because it wasn't tied forever, he quotes the Mishnah Berurah that says the betzorich mitzvah, you're allowed to open it up. So since here it's a tzorich mitzvah to read from the Sefer Torah, it's mutter. Furthermore, since, as we said earlier, it's not clear what is the definition of permanent according to Rabbanan, because we did say that Rabbeinu Yoel said it's day, but we did quote other Paiskim that gave it a longer amount of time. So since we have Paiskim that say it's a longer amount of time, therefore, again, here by Makom Tzairuf that we have to read from the Sefer Torah, he says we'll be allowed to open the knot. But he says a very interesting thing. Let's say, you know, nowadays, most Sefer Torah don't use the old-fashioned gartel that are tied together, but most Sefer Torah use are gartel with a hook. Let's say somebody donated a gartel, one of the old-fashioned gartels that are tied together. And now somebody else wants to donate a new gartel, which is with hooks. And the first person says, I don't want you to take away the kibbutz from me. I donated this for the Sefer Torah first, and I'd like what I donated should be used. Even though normally that would be a valid point, here, given that there is a strong advantage of using a gartel with a hook, because you could avoid a shaila of kosher or matter on Shabbos, we don't take that much into consideration the first person's point, and we do accept the donation from the second person. The shaila is certainly more applicable by reading the Sefer Torah by Mincha, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Shabbos afternoon. Because if you read from the Sefer Torah Shabbos in the morning and you make a knot, that isn't a permanent knot, because if it's the only Sefer Torah you're using, you're going to use it again a couple hours later by Mincha. But if you use the Sefer Torah by Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, and the next time you're only going to read from it is Monday, so here you may really have a problem of a kesher, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah makes the point the person should be specifically careful only to make a bow that could be easily untied when doing galila with the old-fashioned gartels by Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon. There's another interesting shaila I saw that somebody asked Rabbi Aaron Leib Shteinman, that if somebody realized that one of the knots on his tzitzis came apart and on Shabbos he tied it together, is that considered kesher? So Rabbi Aaron Leib Shteinman said it's not kesher, because kesher, he says, is only when you tie something that you need to do. Since to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, you don't have to have all of the knots, even though we have a minhag to have many different knots on the tzitzis, but you really only have to have one knot. And in this situation, that one knot is there, so you mekayim, so that's not considered kesher, but he does say it may be a problem of makav patish. You're turning the tzitzis into tzitzis. And the Pais can point out that's why this is not relevant to Hilchos Shabbos, since that's what makes the tzitzis into tzitzis, that if somebody is sitting in the washroom and he notices that his tzitzis don't have the proper knot, that is not the place to repair the tzitzis, especially since that's the knot, as we just explained, that really gives the tzitzis the shame of tzitzis.